Here's one way that Hurricane Katrina altered New Orleans. Tens of thousands of Latino immigrants, some legal, some not, poured into the city. They wanted a chance for rebuilding work. Those newcomers led Mayor Ray Nagin to ask this.
How do I make sure that New Orleans is not overrun by Mexican workers?
That was Mayor Nagin weeks after the hurricane. His office said he regretted his choice of words, but the sentiment was widely shared, then and now. NPR's David Green has the latest report in our series on the Latino vote.
One thing you notice in New Orleans these days is a lot more Mexican restaurants. I stopped at one for dinner with two longtime New Orleans residents named Martha Marilanda and Albert Stein.
Parrillada, parrillada. That's what we're going to eat, the parrillada.
Martha and Albert are originally from Colombia. Albert is a contractor, and he's hired a lot of Latinos since Hurricane Katrina.
They don't speak the language. Maybe they don't have transportation, but damn it, they're working.
He says something different about his black employees.
You hire the African Americans, they all want the easy way out. They don't work long hours. They always want breaks. They're not loyal.
Albert seemed to know his views would raise hackles.
It's a delicate issue. I mean, and I don't want to make it sound like it's a racial thing, but I think it's just an environment that we live in, you know, that it is what it is.
Martha Marilanda says she's seen too many Latinos become targets. They may be robbed as they're coming home from working on a construction site. She says she worries that if Barack Obama is president, there will be more crime and more tension.
You cannot be better than them because they want your stuff, whatever you have. They want it, they take it. And, just imagine with a black president, they're going to start jumping on us in a worse way. That's the way that I see it, unfortunately.
As we finished dinner, Martha and Albert stressed that they didn't want to seem racist. They said they're being honest about the climate in their community. Outside a coffee shop not far from the French Quarter, I sat down with Melissa Francis, an African-American born and raised in the city. She says she's always loved the diversity.
New Orleans has a history of being a gumbo pot. Everybody just come here and, make one big pot of gumbo.
The pot's different now, Melissa says. She and her family returned to the city after Katrina. And one change since the storm is there's a Latino family living next door. They're good neighbors, Melissa says, although she doesn't hang out with them much.
Not just because they're Latinos or Hispanic people or Mexicans, it's because that's how it is. You just got to take care of yourself right now,
Melissa tells me she welcomes anyone to her city. Then she talks about a few frustrations. For one, she says employers have been hiring Hispanic immigrants at low wages, and that, she says, hurts everyone.
If I was an employer and I can get people in to work for me for kibbles and bits, they coming in. And that's sad. That's the sad part.
Melissa also objects to something else.
The only thing I have a little pet peeve about is when I find Hispanics using their language as an excuse to get out of work. And if they tell me not speak no English, I'll be like, hey, you understand money?
You hear this kind of talk around town, says Martin Gutierrez. He's director of neighborhood and community services for Catholic Charities. And he saw Katrina change the city's mix of races almost overnight.
Most of the workers who are here in town perhaps are not aware of the struggles that the African American community went through to get to where they are.
For blacks, it meant a new look to some neighborhoods.
There's always the fear of the unknown. And when you see new people in your neighborhood, when you see new people in your workplace, well, obviously, it's going to take some time to get used to those new faces in town.
My last stop on the trip was a meeting with Charles Teamer at a New Orleans landmark.
We're in the Camellia Grill, which is a famous New Orleans diner. It's been here forever. The wait staff is famous. Like a lot of places in New Orleans, the locals have their favorite waiter that they go to.
I got 2 islands. You got that shelf? And the one bacon cheese, one turkey cheese.
As we downed breakfast, Charles talked to me about growing up in New Orleans and how he's watched Latinos help rebuild his city. He says he has a lot of respect for them.
Gutting houses and stuff is dirty work. It takes a certain amount of chutzpah, whatever you want to call it. So,
if respect goes both ways, Charles says, blacks and Latinos can confront their struggles together.
Really, at the bottom line, I think the two communities have too much in common. And I think they'll make a mistake if we wind up, you know, being pitted against each other.
The key, he says, is getting past the fear.
You know, if you're worried about me reaching in for your wallet, then you're not going to want to have a casual conversation with me. So you won't know how nice I am.
We've been listening to that report from NPR's David Green, and David's back from New Orleans, and he joins us. David, those are some pretty raw emotions, but New Orleans has had particular problems. So is that same tension across the country?
I mean, it is important to stress that this is just one snapshot in a city that is dealing with a lot the last few years. And you know, we only spoke to a few people, but I think this speaks to what has been an issue and continues to be an issue. And, you know, during the Democratic primary, Barack Obama struggled to win over Latinos. And one reason was this history of black-Latino tensions in some places. And so I think that we were getting just a sampling of that.
So in the presidential contest, Obama has a little different problem than McCain. How does he deal with it?
You know, in the short term, I think it's a reminder for him that he needs to think about that he can't necessarily count on Latino voters because some might not be comfortable with him, and it may be because of race. And, you know, now polls show him winning the Latino vote right now over John McCain. I mean, it's pretty close to 2-1, so he's doing well, it seems. But, Deb, what we saw in New Orleans, it really is a reminder that blacks and Latinos have something in common, and that's a real high incidence of economic hardship. And that's what, in some ways, I took from this. It's really the source of the tension in New Orleans. There's this competition at the bottom of the economic ladder, and the reality is that within this economic vote, there are competing elements, there are different groups with different views of their own situation, and they'll all be demanding the next president's attention. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you very much, David Green.
Pleasure, Deb. Mm-hmm.